All right, good day wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm in such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace.
I'll do you for that.
Not what?
Come here. What are you going to do? Bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Hello, everyone. It's the People's Paisan, Giuseppe, from the District of Criminals. And if you're tuning in expecting to hear the legend of conspiracy talk radio, Dr. James Fetzer, he's moved on to greener pastures, the video realm, Hollywood, pay to listen. And we wish him nothing but the best. And I've been a regular call-in to his great show. And he's already agreed to come back in a few weeks and be the interviewee as opposed to the interviewer, and join us and tell us how it's all going with his new endeavor, the Real Deal Media Network. So we wish him nothing but the best, and we honor him for his decades of service. So today, the roundtable will be 2 hours until 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, when the great Dr. Kevin Barrett will be joining his live show, Truth Jihad Radio. And right now, I think we've got the great Deacon John is still here. Are you there, sir?
Hey, Giuseppe, what's happening? How you doing? Happy 4th of July.
Yeah, man.
So Mr. Fetzer's moved on, huh? Got himself
yes,
a big gig now.
He's trying, and God bless him. You know, he's got that $400,000 judgment against him that in that kangaroo court in Madison, Wisconsin. So...
No
luckily,
kidding.
Yeah. Oh man, it was terrible. You know, he's such a bright guy, and he taught logic for decades at university level, and he really believes. Well, he admits now he doesn't anymore. Believes in the system, and truth will win out. And unfortunately, he learned a hard lesson in globalist parasite politics. But he's got a lawyer now, and he's appealing. But right now, yeah, he owes a ton of dough. The good news is in Wisconsin and many other states, they can't touch his pension. They can't take his house. They can't take his cars. If he were a wealthy guy with a vacation home, they could take that. But so he's going to be all right either way, but especially hopefully it's so good. John, I don't know what you think, but the media is so corrupt as you guys were addressing. Fascinating conversation. I'd like to perhaps continue that on a little bit, but let's go this for a second. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the people's muckraking journalism, the budding movement, which is people like Fetzer and some of these other people on YouTube and BitChute and live stuff, they're the real journalists now. And do you think that that's going to grow into a real fourth estate, a real movement where the mainstream lying, propagandistic, mockingbird, fake news media will be just laughable and the people's news will take over. What do you think of that possibility?
Maybe. I think it has to a certain degree until they slammed everybody down with that, kicking everybody off of YouTube and Facebook and all that and all the censorship and stuff like that. I think as long as those companies, Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, can make money or at least control the opposition by letting people do this, I think people will be able to do it on independent media. The problem is you need to really have like your own website and your own server and backups and stuff so they can't knock you off all those free platforms and stuff like that. But yeah, that would be great. I mean, that's kind of the way it was during the Revolutionary War, right? Didn't they common sense, they passed those pamphlets out and they had, you know, not town hall, but people would gather in the courtyard or wherever, in the little towns or whatever, little burgs, and they talk about all that stuff. That's kind of what, it's gone underground, you know what I'm saying? Because
right.
Yeah, people, I mean, I think anybody who's fair-minded, middle-of-the-road, average person listening to this stuff says, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense at all, you know?
Oh, and not only does it not make sense, I think the average decent American is being under onslaught. It's warlike with the trauma, with, you know, this crazy COVID-19, which is essentially two separate events, right, in my opinion. The one event is we have a $500 billion annual bioweapons budget, which Anthony Fauci oversees in addition to his other efforts. And they have been consistently releasing, in quotes, accidentally or perhaps intentionally, various bioweapons for 30 years, trying to create such a demand for a mandatory vaccine. I mean, as early as... The 2014, that Ebola was not supposed to die. But what's interesting about a lot of these bugs that are so deadly in the petri dish in the lab, you know, the great Dr. Zach Bush, MD, is such a cool guy, wise as in a wise man, not like a made man wise guy. He recently came out and said, you know, there's three fundamental building blocks to life: bacteria, fungi, and viruses, and they build all life, right? I mean, people don't realize that we have billions of bacteria, billions of fungi, billions of viruses in our system that we have taken over to use for this higher form of life, right? And so the whole idea is that the God or the divine order, whatever you want to call the creators, the builders, whatever you want to call it, whoever created this system didn't want it to be wiped out instantly. And so what happens, like in 2014, when they clearly released that Ebola on purpose, and they did kill 23,000, which is tragic, but all of a sudden it modulated, it turned itself off, which is they're going to have to use something really, really deadly like sarin or anthrax. They got things if they want to use it. But you know, the thing is they never know. It could flip the opposite way, and it could mutate to where it kills all life, which nobody wants. So,
what do you think about it? I've listened to some people on this topic, and they're saying it's a binary weapon, meaning the first strain is called like what's called a Herald strain. Everybody gets it. You don't 99% of the people don't show symptoms, but you pass it around to everybody. And you think it's a hoax. And now we're not wearing masks. We're not going to social distance. And then they release part two, which combines with what you already have, and then it turns on and activates. That's kind of, or a second or third version of it. When they want to activate it, they'll release that type of thing.
I think you're absolutely right. And that's the malicious part of it. When I said there were two parts, they've rebranded the flu to be what everybody has, you know, and the other part, which is none other than the amazing Dr. Judy Mikovits, said last week on Scorpio's show when we were interviewing her that that deadly bug that you talked about, the initial step, that's been in everyone now because it was released like 2014 or 2015. And what's triggering it now is the vaccines, especially the flu vaccine. There's a trigger in that. And that's why, and even to that extent, if you look at the numbers now that there's data going on, four months of data tracking, most people are immune to it already. And so the one thing I would say, I tend to believe, I happen to know Dr. Judy Mikovits as a friend. I live across the street from her identical twin sister, and I heard her story years ago before it ever happened, and she was telling me all these things that will happen, and she's never been wrong. So that's why the media, a month or two ago, when that plandemic snippet from the movie came out, it was weird, man. Every Mockingbird media jumped on her like she's a lunatic, she's a quack. But she said this stuff years ago, and it's all coming true. There's nothing she's ever said that hasn't happened. So, I mean, she worked in that field for decades before she was run out of town by Fauci and the good old boys network of corporate big pharma.
Well, I was going to say, didn't Fauci sort of like frame her and all that type of thing? And sort of revoke this paper she wrote? Really, there wasn't any grounds to revoke it or repudiate it and all that type of thing.
She's had multiple run-ins with Fauci. When she was a young woman, she was a lab assistant. She hadn't even got her master's or her PhD yet. She was working for a brilliant guy named Dr. Frank Rizzo. And they were verifying the HIV RNA strand, the pioneering work of Dr. Luc Montagnier, the French fella who won the Nobel Prize. And so she'll tell this story. It's amazing. She's in the lab doing her work on like a Friday afternoon, and Rizzo's already out at the lake with his family or what have you, but she was single and doing her work, and a call comes in. It's Anthony Fauci, and he got word that Frank Rizzo has verified Montagnier's work, and he's got the back then it was all paper, it's in the galley, the printed book report is in the galley, and he wants a copy of it now. And Judy is really feisty and has unbelievable integrity, and she's, no, I can't do that. I can't give you Dr. Rizzo's work. He's not here. It's his. And he starts swearing at her, calling her all kinds of the nastiest names you know, and I'm sure you know what they are, and demands it, and he's literally losing his marbles, screaming and ranting. And finally she wouldn't budge. I mean, she's got bigger testicles than many men, and so he finally hangs up on her, and just he finally strong-armed Rizzo to give it to him, because Rizzo has a family. Rizzo had a pension. Rizzo is like 25 years older than Judy, and they have a mentor relationship. He's her mentor. And so Fauci gets the book and gives it to Gallo, who under the auspices, well, you can't release this until we verify what you're saying. So Gallo does it, verifies it all, and then they flip the script and seek to take credit that Gallo discovered the HIV retrovirus, not Luc Montagnier. And to this day, Gallo still claims he did it. But eventually the scientific community realized it and awarded the Nobel to Montagnier, not to Gallo. And so, it's crazy. And then later on, when Judy was a PhD level, and she was working for the Cancer Institute, and she wasn't even Fauci's direct report, and she once again was working on something he didn't like, and he kicked her out, went above her boss, said, you're done, block her out of the labs. And that was 2011, when she had discovered that the murine leukemia retrovirus, MNRA, which was arrogantly, developed taking a human vaccine or virus and running through a mouse brain, had created all these side effects and diseases. And she pretty much proved that that's the real cause of chronic fatigue syndrome, which is just terrible. How many hundreds of thousands, not millions of people have that, and really caused a lot of the autoimmune epidemic that is going on. And he blocked her again, kicked her out, banned her, had the armed guards take her out, banned her from the lab, said all her work is theirs. And she left it all because she, that was in the contract. And then get this, a few weeks later, they planted her notebooks back in her house after they had arrested her. And they wanted her or her husband to find the books so they could arrest her. And she's like, I didn't put those there. I tell you what, they're there. I had nothing to do with them. And she had proof with some grad students who had photographed that her notebooks were in her desk when she left. So she had rock solid evidence that it was planted. So the level of, that's why she called her second book Plague of Corruption, because she was one of those classic big brain science types that thinks that as long as I do science, I don't have to worry about how the world runs. But actually, she's now learned that the world runs everything. And so she called her second book Plague of Corruption for that purpose.
So she's a PhD in like microbiology or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she got sideways with Fauci because Fauci's backed up by Gates and all these other people. I mean, you know, and she basically caught Fauci with his pants down as a fraud, liar. And,
yes.
And he developed all these fraudulent things and these viruses and all this because he's working. He's like a Dr. Death. And she exposed him and he flipped out on that, went after her basically, right?
That is, in a nutshell, correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, wow. And he has done everything. They've tried to kill her 3 different times, assassination attempts. And one of them plays out like a movie where she's 20 years younger than her husband. And he has a daughter from a previous marriage who looks kind of like Judy, blonde and same height and build. So they traded clothes, and the daughter took off in a car, and then Judy got on in a boat with her husband and sailed away. And so they all jumped on the daughter, and they thought, "What's going on here? I'm XYZ. I don't know her name, nor I don't know that I should say it if I did." But it was a classic the old switcheroo. So it's great. And that's all true. None of that's made up. I don't know, man. It's pretty nutty.
So, wow. So let me ask you this. So Trump, do you think Trump knew that Fauci was rotten and let him, I mean, what's the strategy with Trump? Why, you know, I know for a fact that once you go ahead and fire someone from the government, you can't spy on them anymore. But if they still work for the government, you're not spying everything they do because that's legal. You know what I'm saying? What do you think is going on with Trump and Fauci and that Birx lady? She's another stooge for them, isn't she?
Yeah, and the Redfield, the guy who's the head of the CDC right now, they're all in it together. They're all corrupt. I mean, to me, the way I interpret it is when the vaccine started activating the turning the COVID-19 SARS-2 into like the lethal bioweapon, everybody was freaked out because no one knew, was this going to happen to everybody? No one knew what was going on. And I think at that point, Trump was like, okay, Fauci, you know, this is your area of expertise. You steer the bus for a while. And then I think Trump's people, and he's got handlers, right? I mean, he only gets to tweet certain times. Every other president has everything blocked as far as news, but somehow a word got to him that, you know, this is not what it seems. And it seemed to me as though he really started to marginalize Fauci more. And Trump came right out and said hydroxychloroquine, which is actually properly used in low doses with zinc and what's the third substance? I'm not sure. The three of them together. Zinc. Zinc and
zithromycin.
Yes, to kill the secondary infections. That was a fantastic treatment, and it saved literally millions of lives around the world. But all of a sudden, you know, Fauci's trying to champion this new drug, Resmadol, or I don't have it memorized, but
Remdesivir.
And so did you see today or yesterday that they announced that even though it costs $9 a dose, they're going to sell it for $3,000 a dose?
Well,
so criminal. So criminal.
I'll tell you what. I knew a lawyer. This is what I would do if I got in a situation like that. He got cancer and he knew he was going to die. So he raided and sold everything and converted it to cash and stuck it somewhere and says, after I'm dead, he gives it to his wife, say, here's where all the money is. And he screwed everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
Oh,
so,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if I got sick like that, I'm not paying $3,000. Now I'll go ahead and grab the carpet, but you're not stealing from me at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So
no, brilliant, but, brilliant. And yeah. What I would do in that case, if I was well-heeled like your friend, is I would cash out, hide much of the cash, And then I'd go to Mexico and go to one of those clinics where they do the IV vitamin C, where they do all the natural therapies that cure cancer, and not the cancer industrial complex where radiation and chemo, which it really makes sense when you need an immune system to fight a cancerous invasion, that you destroy the immune function. It really makes sense, not to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, obviously, they're planning on, whether it's just a fake thing or whether it's an actual strain, they're going to release another one again. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you think Trump knew that he had to go along with it? I mean, he first came out in January and said it was a hoax and didn't want to close the economy down. But then maybe they just, his advisors went to him and said, if you don't do this, they'll crucify you and drive you from office. So maybe he went along with the farce because he had to. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that when you look at 22 of his 24 cabinet members are Zionists or members of Shabbat Lubavitch, which means their loyalties do not lie with the United States. And Trump is kept on a short leash by the globalists. And he's like on the razor's edge. You know, he throws them a bone. I'll go bomb Syria a little bit. I'll go name the new capital of Jerusalem. And he thinks he's placating them, but they will never be placated. So I think you're absolutely right. I think that he is being steered in certain directions. And a lot of people want mandatory vaccines. I mean, just this insanity with these masks. It says right on the label of one of the mask companies, and I have a picture of it here. I can read it to you. Hold one second. Here we go. Right here. It says this on the box of those loop around the ear label masks. This product is an ear loop mask. This product is not a respirator and will not provide any protection against COVID-19, coronavirus, or other viruses or contaminants. So it's all for show, and it's all like an operant conditioning, and these people are so scared shitless, pardon my French,
right,
that they're just willing to do whatever, but they're not willing to think. That's what's wrong. You need to step back and don't trust the corporate medicine is like a religion. The priests wear white coats, and the priests are in great temples, and you know, modern medicine, Western medicine, and by the way, I'm a doctor of oriental medicine. I have a master's of science in oriental medicine, a bachelor of science in nutrition, Eastern and Western nutrition. I graduated summa cum laude from one of the top oriental medicine colleges in the nation 15 years ago. And so I'm trained in the natural medicine that's 6,000 years old, and it works. And I'll tell you this, the trauma medicine of Western medicine is unparalleled. If you're in an auto accident and you fall off a ladder, the emergency room is going to save your life. It's phenomenal medicine. And I'll tell you what, the good surgeon is remarkable what they can do. So hats off to those fields of medicine. But so many others are nothing more than drug dealers for big pharma, and that's where the problems begin. So.
Right. Well, I don't know what's going to go on. This other thing that's crazy, I'm laughing at, is this: they want to attack statues and pull statues down, cultural Marxism. And I mean, it's just, I look at this stuff and I'm like, and I have this pet theory, and I say it half jokingly, but half not. I think these people are being activated by their cell phones. I think they're being programmed psychologically, mentally, with brainwaves through the electronics.
That's interesting. I always thought it was more of the subliminal programming in the games and
that
the,
could be.
The celebrity worship and everything, you know, the way all screens pulse, right? And it's, you know, you could easily, like that great movie They Live with Rowdy Piper. I mean, that appears to be. So I definitely agree with your observation that they're programmed, and it's kind of sad. And even the way education's changed, I mean, a couple of months I'm going to be 61 years old. And I remember, you know, I had a civics class and I had to know what the Constitution was and I had to know the Bill of Rights and all that stuff. And what they teach now is just so narcissistic, so globalist agenda, not, you know, we are in a nation. The state of the world is not where we in any way should give ourselves up to a global authority as corrupt as the United Nations. I mean, to me, if anything, we should be fair in our trading with some of these nations that have like lithium and raw materials that we need and give them enough money and say, okay, you go ahead, you build your society as long as you don't do anything to us, knock yourself out. And eventually we would have enough nations that we could down the line maybe form some type of alliance towards a world cooperative in the sense of, you know, open borders. But right now the world is a violent place and most humans are violent. And to think that you could trust the UN to take over this world is insane, absolute insanity.
Yeah. Let me ask you, since you have a background and education in the Eastern medicine and Asian medicine, what's your view of medical marijuana?
Phenomenal. It's criminal that it's been suppressed for so long, and it's also criminal that hemp is not used for plastics, for clothing. Hemp and marijuana are God's gift to the planet, and the oil and gas conglomerates and the John D. Rockefeller, when he destroyed the natural medicine profession back with the Flexnor brothers, the corrupt brothers who steered everyone to drugs that were byproducts of Rockefeller's waste, to turning oil to gas. But I see we're coming close to the bottom of the hour. I think there may be a change. I just like to ask everybody to please donate to Revolution Radio. This is a labor of love, and we need to keep the messages of real free speech. This is all free speech. And what's so wonderful is there's, you know, over 100 hosts and everybody has their own way to speak freely. And that's what's so wonderful. And so please donate. And one last thing I also saw is someone in the chat room asked about Fetzer, and Jim Fetzer's last show was last Sunday. And he's moved on and we honor him, and he will come back for some interviews. And he has nothing but fondness for Revolution Radio, but he's trying to make a few shekels these days.
Okay.
What, I guess I'm not here. Are you hearing anything? I'm not hearing anything yet. So
no, I don't know. If we get music, we'll stop. But
yeah,
what,
right on.
So Fetzer, what? I know he was associated. I've never really listened to him. What was his area of expertise, and what did he talk about, and everything like that?
Well, Jim Fetzer was just your run of the mill, really bright guy. He graduated, went into the Marines, got on the GI Act, and went eventually to Yale and graduated with a PhD in logic. And he was an expert, wrote like 30 books about teaching logic and machine learning and AI. And the guy is just a, you know, really, really bright guy. And then he went a professor to the University of Minnesota, Duluth. And then he really became fascinated. He started to use the Kennedy assassination for some of his logical proofs. And he remembered back then academia was a little way more open. And he pretty much was proving that there's no way that Lee Harvey Oswald could have killed Kennedy. So he founded Scholars for Truth in the Assassination of Kennedy or something like that. And he had a whole bunch of academics join with him, and they had they wrote three different books together. His whole thing is that he brings other experts together. When he writes a book that says Jim Fetzer, in reality, he's got like, you know, 10 PhDs or you know, a couple journalists, everybody in their own area of expertise, and he just edits it all together. And if he writes a chapter, he comes right out and says it. So he's always looking to maintain really high standards. And so then he retired from Duluth, and then he was just convinced that 9/11 was an inside job. And so then he helped found Scholars for 9/11 Truth, and for a while he was more mainstream with that, and then he kind of got blackballed by I think it was Bill O'Reilly tried to set him up, but Fetzer can talk with anybody. He knows debate and logic inside and out, and so you know they started to make him out to be the kooky professor, and some of the mainstream members of that Scholars for 9/11 Truth turned out to be like straw men, double agents trying to sabotage the truth movement. So it's funny that the more that Jim Fetzer started to really go through the rabbit hole and find truths, the more he was marginalized by the mainstream media. And so he began to do his own thing on YouTube and radio, and that's been where he's at. And then he really believes Sandy Hook was a false flag and nobody died. And he's been quite vociferous and vocal in staying that. And that's caused him just a ton of problems. And he's got like, you know, he works with a few other fellas. They got Moonrock Books Publishing, and he puts out a new book like once or twice a year, again, with edited with 10 or 12 guys. And he got banned from Amazon with Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, and he got mad, so he released it free as a PDF, the first version, and it's been downloaded like 2 million times. And so there's a lot of people who wonder what the heck really went on there. And I mean, all of those false flags, when you start looking at them and you start looking at the character that they purport to have done it, which is that young kid who looks like he's not even human. He's supposed to be like 110 pounds. And then he's supposed to carry like 120 pounds of heavy duty military grade equipment. And it's just, it makes no sense. So, and then there are always witnesses who saw a couple of other people in black garb going into the woods and what have you. And, you know, pretty much anything I've been a big fan of his since the early YouTube days. And, you know, I was just content to practice guitar and listen to it and watch it. And, but the events of the last couple of years, and especially the last 6 months, have so outraged me. Before I was into Eastern medicine, my midlife career change, I was a degree journalist, and I worked in Milwaukee for the largest morning newspaper in the state. And I have like 500 published byline articles, and I was trained to be an objective journalist: who, what, where, when, why, and how. And not even the how. The how's more for the editorial writers and the opinion pieces. And today there's nothing but opinions and propaganda. And then this whole COVID-19 is such a scamdemic. It's such a farce. And you look at, we were mentioning this 20 minutes earlier, you start to look at the actual death data, you start to look at the actual sick people, and Del Bigtree made an excellent point. If people don't know about on YouTube, it's called the high wire, because he's going up on a wire to take a chance, and I don't think we're going to have a bottom of the hour, which is fine. And he did a 20-minute piece that looked at the flu data from the last 5 years, right? And this year, again, is exactly the same until the whole COVID-19 lunacy. And what happened is he maintains that if this were actually a real pandemic, the number of cases and deaths would have risen at more of a traditional level of every historical pandemic. And what happened is it's still the same: November, December, January, February. And what happened in February, March, is that Fauci and all these people came out and they were the chicken littles that the sky is falling. And all of a sudden you get this narrow, giant spike in hospitalizations and deaths. And he maintains that what would really happen was a panic-demic, where all these people, some of them did have that nasty triggered bioweapon, but a lot of them just were having panic driven systems, and the deaths dropped so quickly it doesn't match any historical pandemic. So he's very compelling in that 20-minute presentation, which was taken, edited out, and shared out of his 2.5-hour show from a week ago Thursday. So I highly recommend people watch it. And yeah, man, it's just disturbing that people are so easily frightened these days. I mean, that leads into the whole Black Lives, Antifa, you know, oh, they have the right to destroy history, and we should be afraid of them all because they have truth and justice on their side, and I really don't think they do. What do you think?
Who's that? The Black Lives Matter?
And Antifa, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, no, they're just Marxist shills. They don't even understand. I mean, they've been taught propaganda, but, I mean, they can't. Anybody who's gone to college and I mean, my thing is if you go to a 4-year college, you should have to take history, a little bit of history, political science, and philosophy,
yeah.
And understand civilization and society and Western, you know, I mean, governmental institutions and, you know, basic stuff like that. But no, they've just been, it's all white privilege and hate white people and Marxism and, I went through you're about the same age as I am. I went through the educational system in the 70s and went to college, late 70s, early 80s, graduate school. And I don't know what they're teaching these people now, but I could tell you right now, they'd flunk out of all the classes I took. They'd get straight ups because we were supposed to learn stuff and memorize the stuff and be able to discuss the stuff and spit it back out in a paper or an exam or something like that. Well, they don't do that now. They just teach them to go up and mouth off to cops and stuff like that, and sooner or later they're going to get their teeth smashed down their throat. That's what's eventually going to happen to them. And if Trump doesn't do it, the rest of us will. I hate to say that. I don't want that to happen, but I'm just saying. I mean, that's kind of where we're at now. Now they're backed up. They're cannon fodder. The worst part about that is apparently when Obama was president, they passed these laws to fund these nonprofit groups and funnel the money to Soros if you created the groups, and we're actually paying these bastards. So unfortunately, that's kind of where it's at right now. But I mean, I don't know how these cops stand there and take it. I'd take that big billy club and I'd smack them right in the teeth with it. They got my face. But see, you'd lose your job. They'd fire the cops. See, that's the difference. Our can you imagine our parents and grandparents putting up with this nonsense?
No.
They'd go out and beat the crap out of themselves out in the street. I mean, we didn't have this society like this. I mean, if I even talked the nonsense that one of them was talking to my father, or grandfather, or one of my uncles, they'd slap me right across the face.
Oh, without a doubt.
So you're what the hell's wrong with you, man? What do you mean you want two men to get married? Smack. You know, I mean, that's the way society was.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying anything bad against gay people or gay people can't have it. I don't care. It's not, I'm a libertarian, but you can't destroy the family with what they've done with that and the abortion and all the other stuff, because that's about it. But anyway, that's just my peculiar prejudice.
Oh, it's not peculiar. It's dead on accurate. And here's why. Have you ever heard of a woman? She's an academician, and she worked a deputy secretary of education under Reagan. Her name is Charlotte Isherbeet. Have you ever heard of her?
Yeah.
Well, she's come out and said that she wanted to, even in the 80s, she wanted to return education the way it was. And she was pretty much in meetings where they were saying the Sovietization of education is what we want. We want to get to a point where the state raises the child and not the family. And so she was fighting that and saw it coming in the 80s. And then that demonic harpy Hillary Clinton, with her famous quote, "It takes a village to raise a child." No, it does not. And that's the whole problem that's occurred the last 20, 30 years, perhaps, is all of a sudden, you know, because of the globalist parasites destroying the real economy, you have to have both parents working, and suddenly your young children, impressionable ages 0 through 6, 7, are being raised and trained by who knows what and why. And all of a sudden, then they go into a school system that it's all about, globalist UN type Marxist craziness. And it's just so infuriating. And so now you've got, what's funny is the whole rioting. I heard some statistics yesterday that I think it's only 16 or 26% of all the BLM marches are black people. And you would think that it would be mostly black people. So that's another kind of silly thing. And even the Black Lives Matter was begun by a radical Zionist Marxist, or rather Bolshevik Marxist named Rosenberg, a woman, I think it's Susan Rosenberg. Mm. So it's insidious. And sadly, you combine what that concept with the whole idea of the video games and the narcissism of, oh, I'm going to be a social media influencer on YouTube, and I'm going to constantly film myself. And then these people, like, I don't even know what their name is. There was one that it was so weird, it stuck in my head, PewDiePie or something, and he's got like 22 million followers, and he's a multimedia from his monetization and all that, and it's crazy. Where's the commitment to the family first, and then your extended family, and then your neighbors, and that should be the most important, not what the heck's going on the internet or the latest celebrity. I mean, that's a whole nother thing. Aren't you, or are you offended by the fact that these celebrities are propped up like they're experts on everything, and they go on TV and tell these young people what they should do because they're celebrities and they know better? I just find that so infuriating. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't really watch TV anymore. The only thing that I'll watch is like football. I like college and pro football. But now with this kneeling down and they're going to play the black anthem, I don't even know if I want to watch that. But I just never really paid to. The other thing, too, is I'm considering doing is I'm thinking about going dark on my social media, my Facebook and my Twitter, because I just think it's almost like talking to AI anyway, robots and stuff. And I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I
do.
I'm just getting to the point where I just don't think it's good.
As far as trying to make friends and such, I have both set up as news feeds, and that I find that useful to scan through. But yeah, as far as, oh, I'm going to meet someone in Bahrain. I mean, I would never, you know, I never had any interest in that to begin with, but I do find it to be a useful tool, even though with the increased censorship, the people I like to see what they're saying are being knocked off of those platforms, which is, I find that so offensive, that the level of censorship these days against our free speech is just outrageous. I wish Trump would really do something serious about that, not threaten to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at a certain point in time, I think you have to sort of take care of your own, tend your own garden, sort of stoicism. And I don't know, man. I guess I'm from a previous generation, and I don't see, for me, there really is with popular culture right now. I think it's just makes people stupid and dumps people down, and there's nothing, not that I'm some kind of, you know, connoisseur of the proper culture. I'm just saying I was raised in a different time, and a lot of this is just nonsense, that's all.
Oh, completely agree. Absolutely agree. And if you were suddenly, I heard you guys talking earlier about Tucker Carlson, if suddenly it was Deacon John, he's the man, and you were president, what would you do to restore some sanity to this country?
I turn the cameras off and arrest all the traitors and put them over in the military tribunals, and I'd have the military read the Riot Act to these people and give them whatever minutes that are allowed under the law to disperse, and if not, then I'd kill them.
Yeah, without a doubt. And then I would also nationalize the media and make sure it's you know, hundreds of thousands of opinions and real journalists are running it, not this propaganda factory. And yeah. I would also give enormous tax breaks and even, you know, like 0.5% interest loans to organic farmers and get organic farming going everywhere. So people can eat real food, and especially babies, you know, I mean, that's, and I would really train the lowest poverty classes to be more self-sufficient and not think that they're going to be an NBA star or rap star or whatever, but learn how to to grow your own food and clean up your and attain some ownership and maintain the quality of your existence. And to me, that's where you get real self-esteem, not the phony celebrity narcissist self-esteem, because that type of self-esteem is dependent on others. When you have real self-esteem, like I can't speak for you, but I don't give a rat's a what anybody thinks of me. I know who I am. I have a moral code. I'm a profoundly decent person. I treat everyone with respect. And for years, I've been asking every clerk if I go to a grocery store, hey, how's your day going? And people just perk up because they're so looked down upon. But I don't look down on anybody until you do something to cause me to look down on you. And so that's those are some of the things I'd like to see happen. And just to eliminate the control by these plutocrats in the government. You know, everybody, there's many people who think the government is so far gone and corrupt that it can never be fixed. But I think that the infrastructure up to a certain level works. And even last week, there was a historical election where a 30-year trader, a dual citizen Israeli trader who was representing the Bronx, which is really diverse, was voted out and lost to a black middle school principal. And to me, if you could eliminate every dual citizen traitor from the government might start running a lot better.
Well, I think that they've busted up the government and screwed it up so much and made it so, I don't know what the word is, so transparent that it's a joke that I don't even believe we even have a government anymore. We have a bunch of criminals in charge.
Yeah.
And, know, I mean, the rule of law, due process, private property rights, all that other stuff. I think they've busted it down and stolen so much of it. And Marx made it subject to their Marxism so much. I don't think there's anything left. That's where the 7,000 kingdom comes in. Kingdoms, hijackers' idea, where it's all going to fracture and break into basically what area you live in. You know, if you're in a rural or conservative area with a sheriff like that, then you're gonna have a different experience than if you live in a big city where the communists are in charge, communist politicians.
Right, right.
So,
you know, that's an interesting concept. I mean, it's definitely appears to be really breaking down into city mouse, country mouse kind of thing. That's for sure. Oh, by the way, we do have the ability to take calls. If anybody wants to call in and join the conversation, 703-879-8880. That's 703-879-8880. And that's a Skype number. If you can call from Skype, it works a little better. But if you're on a cell phone, it probably won't come direct, but I'll call you right back. So why don't you join us? We'd like to hear your opinion as well. And also, this Revolutionary Radio has been here for a decade. The great Mike Ringley and Ahmad Painter and some of the other founders founded this, and it's going great. But we need your help. No advertising, no corporate sponsorship. This is a real freedom platform, freedom of speech, freedom of ideas. But you still got to pay the bills. Like John said earlier, you need servers, you need the cloud, you need – And so we do have monthly expenses. And so if you could especially join Patreon, I'm a Patreon supporter. I pay $5 a month. I'll probably kick it up now that I'm a host to 10 or 20. And if you guys could do that, then we know it's there every month. And there's going to be one of the great benefits coming soon in large part to the Herculean efforts of the great Joe Tones is we're going to have the archives back. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, you get to hear tens of thousands of hours of awesome radio with amazing guests and amazing discussions. So please support Revolution Radio.
Yeah, you know, it's got to keep us on the air. We got to pay for all that technology and all the stuff that's associated with that. And that's not cheap, that's for sure.
That's for sure. Yeah. But getting back to it, yeah, man, it's the 7,000 kingdoms. That's interesting. I always like to try to look at things from different sides. Do you think 7,000 kingdoms could prevent a Chinese invasion?
No, I don't think, no. The only thing that's going to prevent a Chinese invasion is melting them on their, where they stand in the tracks before they get here.
Right.
Which is, that's what you would have to do. But 7,000 kingdoms is just, Joel Skousen actually is the one that came up with this concept 10 years ago. He wrote that book, Strategic Relocation, where he theorized that the Patriots would break off and move like into Idaho or Montana or Wyoming over that way and make their own country. But that's what this is. Things are breaking up right now. I live in a rural, white Christian Republican county, next one over from Franklin, Columbus, Ohio, big city. And it's just a different experience. Columbus, Ohio, the bitch, Marxist mayor signed a piece of paper yesterday that makes everybody wear face masks now, coverings. And I don't really go in there. I've got some hearings. I go to court and stuff like that. And they're bastards. You can't get in the courthouse or go up in the elevator unless you have a mask. If you don't have one, they'll give you one, make you wear it. And then they have these snitches walking around. They're called navigators, these women. We'll say if you don't have a mask on, they'll kick you out of the courthouse. So I've had enough of that crap. But no, it's unfortunate for some people who live in certain areas, man. This is what you're dealing with, unfortunately.
Oh, man, that whole contact tracing thing. Well, this whole thing is a monumental scam. I was reading an article earlier today that if you step back and you didn't know about Fauci's fear tactics and this panic-demic, this would have just been another flu season, because every year about this many people die because they already had bad kidneys, they already had cancer, they already had pneumonia.
Yeah, that's right. That's what John Morris said. He said instead of dying 6 months or 12 months from now, they died. And no one wants, don't give me, I don't want anybody to die. I don't want anybody to get sick. I don't want anybody to be arrested or killed. See, at a certain point in time, when do you have to defend yourself? I don't know. I asked Hijacker this question. I said, look, man, do you think Trump is letting this go on like this so people get their nose rubbed in it, so to speak, and, that type of thing, so they'll stand up against it? Or do you think he's doesn't have the power to stop it? And what's your thoughts on that?
I think that there is really good dirt on Trump. And it may be from the fact that he managed to negotiate his way into the totally Jewish controlled real estate market of Manhattan.
Oh man, that's right.
And there's been bankers, central bankers, on the record saying, "Well, we could have destroyed Trump years ago." I saw this in a documentary a few years ago, but we felt like he was more useful to us if we kept him in business. And so I think that the reason he fights to prevent his tax return from coming out and everything is because he has some real interesting skeletons. And I think he's more of a paper billionaire than a real billionaire. And I don't think he wants that all to come out, because I've heard where he ran for the president in 2016 thinking that he could just send his brand through the roof and could maybe start his own network. And he never really even thought he would win the election. And so the fact that he did is the reason he wasn't prepared, and he should have had his own cabinet of patriots. Cause remember Trump in the campaign of 2016, he was talking to the white nationalists and the regular people of this country, the white conservatives, that's who voted him in and overtook the Bolshevik leanings of Hillary Clinton. But when he came in, all of a sudden he's packing his cabinet with dual citizen traitors. And that's not what he sold to the people to get elected by any means. So.
Hey, how would you like to have this one dropped in your lap? He gave he gave the vaccine development to his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Now, how much money you think that Jared's going to make off of that?
Oh, yeah.
The Trump vaccine. Not the one that Fauci has. You know what I'm saying? So, look, people need to understand They think the this is my opinion. The Constitution's not a piece of paper. It's who's ever in charge at the time. You got to understand that rich people created this country because they wanted to be able to steal their own money and keep their own money and not everybody tell them what to do. And I get that. I understand if you're undersecretary of state or ambassador to this and that and congressman and an aide or a advisor, you've got your own little kingdom that you sell under, you know, Secretary of HUD, what's his name? Ben Carson.
Oh, these
people are making $200,000 a year. You're out of your mind. You're smoking crack, man. They all have their kingdoms and their fiefdoms and they're getting fees. And I don't have a problem with that, but leave 25% for us. Problem is these bastards stole it all and they left nothing.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you want to go to college, start a job, start your own company, get a good job. If you don't want a good college, buy a house, raise kids, buy a car every couple of years, take a vacation, have something left over to leave your family when you die.
Right.
But they stole all that. The Marxists stole all that.
Right. That's the problem.
And
the kosher sandwich, the Marxists and the Zionists, the banksters
did
it. Yeah, the both slices of the kosher sandwich. Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I understand rich people, and I understand that they call the shots because they deserve to call the shots, and they run things because they own everything, and they got there because of who they are. I get that, but leave 25% for us, man, or whatever percentage it's supposed to be. You know, that's the problem we've got right now. And they're beating us upside the head every day with these, you know, these people out in the streets stopping cars and all that nonsense. And, you know, they don't even know what the hell they're talking about, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Tearing down Abraham Lincoln statues, you fool. Right.
You're saying
that we're racist. We're white supremacists. But you go to face Abraham Lincoln statue. I mean, these people are not. They're animals is what they are.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, they are literally just being activated. They don't know why. They lack impulse control. They're weak-minded, weak-willed. They don't have self-discipline. And they quick trigger, low impulse control. And then it's like they live in a world with four suns in a rainbow sky. They have no idea what is real, what the real world is. Oh, here we go to the top of the hour. We'll be back for another hour. Stay tuned. Revolution Radio Roundtable.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
Turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. And beginning next Friday, I'll be taking this slot with my new show, The Perfect Triangle. And joining me in the Roundtable is the host of Liberation Nation, Deacon John. And John, how have you found doing a show 5 days a week? How do you like it?
Oh, I've been doing it for a long time. It just becomes part of your life. You build it into your schedule. I used to do 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
A long time. And then it got to the point where I'm like, eh. I dropped down to an hour. But no, it's you know, if sometimes I'm working and I can't do it and I get coverage, but I like it. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not going to make it any money. I've never made a penny off this. I don't want to. I'm just saying it's a good outlet for anyone, really, to get their views out there and develop their arguments and try to influence some people, that type of thing. So, yeah, absolutely, man. I enjoy it. Sometimes, you know, it's a commitment because some days, you know, we're coming around here and, you know, and everything, and you're like, oh, no, I don't want to do it. I'm tired. But you got to do it, man. You just force yourself and you do it. And once the music starts rolling, it's cool. But yeah.
Just so. Like when a band's on tour and the 22 hours of travel and hotels, once you're about to walk onto that stage, all of a sudden, whoa, the energy just flows, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's fine. But so how do you're a recent convert, and when did you start your show here? You just started recently, huh?
Well, I've been a Revolutionary Radio fan for a long time. I think shortly after it began, I was interested in the whole idea of internet radio stations versus terrestrial, and I started doing when Google used to be a valid search engine. I found a list of the top 100 or something, and the whole idea of the name so cool, Revolution Radio. So I checked it out and I heard some stuff, and then came back when I used to like listening to Richard Hoagland's show. It used to be before Art Bell.
Oh, right.
And he talked about his she's passed on, God rest her soul. Dr. Robin Falkoff had her own daily show. And I was like, oh, no kidding. Interesting. So then I came back to that. And then when Fetzer came back, so I was an intermittent listener for many, many years. And then as things have been getting crazier and crazier, I used to just, you know, I'm also a singer songwriter, and I used to rehearse guitar and like listen to Revolution Radio or watch Fetzer or someone on YouTube when there wasn't all the censorship. And then it started getting more and more infuriating the direction these globalists were taking us, that I started to call in to Jim Fetzer a lot and others. And my first degree, when I was a young man, I worked in radio. I worked for the newspaper, Milwaukee Sentinel, the biggest morning daily in the state of Wisconsin in the 80s when I was working there. And I have all this training, and it's just the censorship is what really made me decide to go from being an observer to a participant, is when they started censoring so many people off of books off of Amazon and people's opinions off of YouTube, people who had worked hard to monetize their channel and to build up and were doing real journalism and really pointing the finger at some of the real enemies and the real villains in this global narrative. And then to, you know, get years of work wiped away, it's just, it made me so mad that I'm like, you know what, the time is now. This is going in a really bad direction, and I'm just going to have to join the team. And luckily, here I am.
Yeah, well, you inherited a pretty good slot then. Is it every day at 6 or just Fridays at 6?
Just Friday.
Okay.
Jim Fetzer used to do Wednesday evening, which is going to be taken over by Chicago Brew, who's a friend and a really sharp, sharp guy out of the city of Chicago. I'm sure he's going to do a great job. I'm doing Friday, 6 to 8. And then Sunday, the great Mike Gaddy, who currently does Dare to Think Out Loud with L.B. Bork and is a part of different roundtables and stuff. And he is a bright guy. He's a real fascinating historian and digs into real history, not the phony narrative where these Marxist types, like you just so accurately described, they just rewrite other Marxists. I like real historians who go to first source type, like David Irving did with his fantastic books on World War II and about Hitler and all that. And you're an intrepid researcher and you actually go and find the notes of the secretary of Adolf Hitler or similarly real history, not this lies that most people believe. Anyway, Mike's Sunday night from 6 to 8. So it's going to be, Fetzer's a legend, but I think we the three of us will all bring really interesting points of view, and we're all longtime researchers. I've been a researcher into, you know, real history, real conspiracy. It's funny, my mother never believed, I was 4 years old when Kennedy got shot. She never believed Lee Harvey Oswald did it. So early on, you know, there's a lot of discussion about that. And I've been into the what really happened ever since then. And so I have 45 years of research into things like this. So.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yep, it sure is.
So tell us about your show. What's your show going to be like? And what are you going to focus on? And, you know.
Sure. It's called The Perfect Triangle, based on my experiences with Oriental medicine, which is a perfect triangle of body, mind, and spirit. And I thought that, you know, essentially so much today is so superficial and so bilaterally polarized. And in an angry, polarized, bilateral world, perhaps three perfect sides can reveal additional truths, you know, and even just to look at things new. So, you know, stuff like truth, conspiracy, perception, big pharma, natural healing, informed choice. And you know, you can make three sides of a triangle, an isosceles triangle in any way, and try to, even if I don't agree with a point of view, at least represent it accurately and not simply vilify people. And, you know, I mean, I think that it's a more powerful debate tool to prove someone wrong with facts and with logic than to just say be insulting and hurl ad hominem insults. I just think it's better to have facts behind what you say.
Yep. That's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty good. You know, to follow a legend, my first guest is a legend in her own right, going to have Dr. Judy Mikovits joined my first show and take calls and everything, so that'll be good.
So what is she doing these days? I mean, she got lost her job and hassled and all that, and is she working? Is she just putting out like information? Is she a journalist now, or what's the situation?
She was under a gag order, and she's been helping. She's the last 10. Well, even when she was within the big pharma structure, she was always trying to find natural cures for things. So she was a huge proponent. Remember back in the day when interferon's going to cure all cancers and all that, on the cover of Time magazine and all that in the early 80s and all that? Well, interferon turns out to actually does cure many things, but it was used wrong. And she proved and discovered that you use real low doses of interferon alpha, and it will literally cure and heal a lot of these chronic diseases like chronic fatigue syndrome and many others, and it will even help autism reverse. And so it's so criminal that Merck, who owns the patent, pulled it off the market when she started, and she's been part of like this natural healing network for quite a while, and now she's really done a bunch of research on the marijuana, cannabis as a healing plant, and she is really fascinating. She basically makes some decent money being an expert witness in vaccine court, but vaccine court's so corrupted, and her husband has a pension, and the rest of the time she like works on at no charge, helping people naturally heal from advanced cancer and other things. And she's got people, master herbalists on Indian reservations, which they can make all the stuff without the hassles, and then it ships from the Indian reservation. She's really clever, so she's really focused on being a natural healer and is trying to bring that kind of knowledge and those tools. I mean, there's another thing that could have healed millions of people from AIDS and other autoimmune diseases. It's called peptide T, and she helped a woman develop a product, and for 40 years she's been trying to get out on the market, this woman, and for 40 years the corrupt FDA has blocked her. Literally could have helped millions of people not suffer from chronic fatigue and all those other and there's so many products like this that people don't realize that are being blocked for the fat cats in the pharmaceutical industrial complex and the cancer industrial complex. It's really criminal.
I know a lot of state, even Ohio here, we have medical marijuana now, and there's like 21 qualifying conditions, and apparently it really helps quite a bit, especially with things arthritis it's being an analgesic and that type of thing. And these FDA people were controlled by the pharmaceutical companies, and they want to give us a slow death with your medication. You know, they don't want to cure anything. So
that's it's
a hell of a life, man. I'm telling you, it's just these people are just, I don't know. The money just must totally like override their humanity. You know, the only thing I can think of.
I think you're dead on accurate. I think that's exactly what is going on. And the money and the power, right? I mean, the power to that's like an addictive. The seven sins are so seductive and they're so addictive, and that kind of power and ego is just it, because a lot of these individuals have more money than you and I could ever spend, although I'd like to give it a shot. Speaking of that, you know, so much of this disease and problems that people have is really chronic inflammation, because their gut biome, which is, believe it or not, 90% of all diseases are created in the gut, because you don't have the proper mix of and it gets out of control, and then what that causes then is systemic inflammation. And so many people are suffering, and even it's legal in I think all 50 states is CBD, cannabidiol oil, which is made from a hemp plant, an organic hemp plant, which has been grown to not have any THC in it. So you don't get high, but you still get all the amazing anti-inflammatory benefits. And actually, most people don't know that in the human body, we have an endocannabinoid system, whereas it's like a lock and a key mechanism. So the CBD molecule is like the key, and it goes into the lock in our nerve, our system of the endocannabinoid, and when it turns, it causes the body to release its natural endorphins and enkephalins and pain relief and natural steroids. The brain, if we're healthy, is in large part our master pharmacy. It can produce everything, and so it stimulates the body to heal itself. And two things that I would urge anyone who's over 40 years old to seriously consider and try our CBD, but it has to be organic hemp, and it has to be made through cold process with no acids or benzenes. So what the right way to do it is you make it with CO2 and freeze it, and then the oil will drip out, and it's a natural process, and it retains the molecular chains that fit in that locked system, and then it's placed in some type of natural conductive fluid like olive oil or what have you, or alcohol or something. But that's the kind of CBD you want. And then there's another amazing product called C60, Carbon 60. Have you ever heard of that?
No, what's that? What's that like?
Oh, it's fascinating. Are you familiar with the legendary scientist and inventor Buckminster Fuller?
No.
His geodesic domes, they're like...
Oh, I've heard of those before, yeah.
Well, so a C60 is essentially those geodesic domes were also called buckyballs because they you can make them into a complete spherical with all those. I forget how many sides it is, six-sided or eight-sided or what that are joined together. Anyway, at the atomic level, carbon-60, it has amazingly positive healing effects on the human body. NASA discovered it and others have discovered it. And so what happens is C60 is 120 times more effective as an antioxidant than good vitamin C. And it's a powerful,
really?
Yes, absolutely, a powerful anti-inflammatory. And the key is finding a real savvy engineer who can make that nano C60 correctly. Because a lot of people are jumping on it, and the second key is to get it in a natural emollient, like an olive oil or a sunflower oil or some type of oil. But I mean, there's no monetary compensation, but I can tell people if you go to c-60.com, NASA engineer named Bob Gretzka. Left NASA, and he realized he could make C60, and he made it for himself, and it really transformed his health. And so he started it as a side business, and he really knows how to make it right. And there's all kinds of products that may be a little cheaper. And actually, Sarah Westall, who is an amazing a woman out of Minnesota who has a YouTube channel, a BitChute channel, was running a good business and then ran into the corrupt Marxist bureaucracy of Minnesota, and they really did a number on her. But she's another feisty woman who's heroic, and she became a citizen journalist and muckraker exposing all this, and she sells it at her site as well. So, yeah, Carbon 60, I've been taking both now. I added CBE to my – because I used to play a lot of sports when I was younger, and I used to have painful – lower back degeneration and achy joints and bad knees. And it's and I would treat myself with Chinese medicine, but it's needling, it's taken all. And so I just started about 3-4 years ago with CBD, and about a year ago with the carbon 60. It's real subtle. And all of a sudden I'm like, wow, man, my back never hurts anymore. And wow, my joints are like way better. And wow, it's just really, and it's all natural. You buy the right products, all natural. You're giving the body what it needs. So I highly recommend both those, especially anybody over 40 should really give it a try. And the other thing is with natural things like that, if it says take a small dose, like half a dropper full twice a day or once a day, that's all you need. In America, well, if this is good, I'll take 5 doses. No, that's not how the body works. Then you start potentially messing up your digestive tract and things. If it says once or twice, take it once or twice and work with someone who's trained, with someone like me, who I know certain substances, you do acute dosing for like 3 days to get if someone's really in pain, but then you stop, you don't continue at that level. And so, that's with a lot of things. Don't overtake just because you think a little works. A lot will work better. That's almost never the case.
So what does this stuff do? to your body again?
Which one? The CBD?
C60. No, I know it's CBD. It's the C60.
Oh, let me call up a list of everything it does. And just give me a minute. So it's a great anti-inflammatory. Antioxidant. It's amazingly good antioxidant. And it does, like, I to some of my patients, because I also have a small practice. I'm licensed, nationally board certified, and practice in Wisconsin, where we used to live, and now in Virginia, 11 miles west of the vile district of criminals. And here we go. Let's see. So I need a C60. So let me find you know what? I just thought of another place. I have it in my Google Docs. But give me one more second. So how about you? How's your health?
Sure.
Your age?
Oh, I've got arthritis. I played sports in high school and college. I need a knee replacement. My hips got a lot of arthritis. So the CBD something is very good. Now, let me ask you, with the medical marijuana, do you have to get certain strains of that stuff to get the right CBDs for things like arthritis and inflammation, or is it just in every type of marijuana plant?
Well, that's a good question. But now there's two different things. Medical marijuana is cannabis with THC. That will get you a little high or a lot of high, depending. And they're so advanced in how CBD oil, which stands for cannabidiol oil, comes from a hemp plant. And hemp is marijuana's first cousin. Hemp has been grown. The high, the THC, has been grown out of hemp. So, you know, smoking hemp won't do anything for you. But the oil is a great anti-inflammatory. Okay, so the 12 health benefits of carbon 60. So there was it increases longevity of life. There's a study out of Paris and out of Bari, Africa, that finds that the molecule can increase the lifespan of rats by 90%. So it has high affinity for both cellular and mitochondrial, which are the energies of the cells' membrane. So it protects these cells, and by doing so, it lets the cell live longer, and therefore it gives you more life. It's an awesome antioxidant, the second point, and scavenges free radicals. And free radicals are what eventually make you sick or give you cancer, and they're the nasty things that your immune system, with the neutrophages and the microphages and the white blood cells that are supposed to get all that, when they miss that, those are free radicals, right? And so the more toxic junk you have in your system, the more likely you could get some kind of chronic disease. And the third thing it does is reduce inflammation dramatically and reduces the symptoms of arthritis, which you might find very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth thing it does is improves immune function. It boosts the overall immune system. The fifth thing is it prevents apoptosis in neurons, which is the death of the cell in nerve cells, and may reverse Alzheimer's disease. Now, you know, that it may do that. I mean, there's some studies that more people use it. I have seen some cognitive reversal myself, personally, in my practice. So it does improve cognitive function in people who are losing it. It protects cartilage and improves bone health. That's number six. Number seven, helps eradicate bacteria and viruses, including HIV. Number eight, may prevent you from gaining weight. Number nine, inhibits tumor growth. Number 10, helps your skin protect from UV radiation so you don't burn as easily. Number 11, it may actually reverse some skin disorders. And number 12, it helps prevent male infant fertility. And it's really good for pets. I've seen instances of where dropping a drop a day in a blind dog with cataracts removed the cataracts, and within a month the dog could see again. I personally saw that occur. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. Yeah, pretty cool.
The only thing is, it's a little pricey. I'm looking at it here.
Well, you know, yeah, you don't need a lot. So one bottle's for one person's 45 days of use. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess it's not cheap, but, and there are some that are less expensive, but I don't know. I heard him interviewed, several times long form by Jeff Rentz, and he brought on some naturopaths and some other initially skeptical Western doctors. And they were like, this guy really knows how to make it, blah, blah, blah. So, and the cool thing is, if you get on his email list, he regularly runs like a deal where buy one bottle, get the second bottle free, or things like that.
That would be good.
Yeah. 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 So I can personally attest both those CBD and C60 really work. They really work. And it's a good thing.
Right. Yeah. So with marijuana, though, I think you have to get the right kind of strain, don't you? The flower. For the CBDs, I don't think all of them have that, do they? All automatically have the CBDs.
No. Once again, CBD is hemp, and medical marijuana, there's like the sativa and the indica. One of them gives you energy. One relaxes you. But once again, hemp is the first cousin of marijuana. I mean, so,
yeah, there's medical marijuana that has CBD. I mean, you could get it like as a topical cream that has.
Oh, right, CBD. Right. Yeah, right. Well, right. From that perspective, I see what you're saying. As a topical cream, because it's essentially the
or
same thing.
Oh, I put under your tongue. Yeah.
Right. That. Oh, absolutely. It's the same thing with the added benefit of the THC in it. Okay, I see where you're going. Right.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. I mean, I haven't had a need for it, and it's not legal here in Virginia, although I do know that the Indian reservation can mail it to. I helped the cancer patient get some via the mail, so that was good. But yeah, hopefully if we ever get a sane president, they would legalize all that, because the benefits of that. But you know, that corrupt parasite Tony Fauci and Monsanto have a patent on medical use of marijuana. And they run it out of the University of Mississippi. And so, you know, and all their product is drenched with glyphosate. And you know how bad glyphosate is. Listeners may not realize that originally the developer of a glyphosate and Roundup, it was originally developed as an industrial pipe cleaner. And it would used to clean out caked up sewer lines and things. And so what they discovered is, as it was being spilled around the location of a sewer, it would kill all the plants. So they realized, holy cow, this is a desiccant as well. And they wrote papers about it. And then Monsanto read the papers, bought the company, and began to repurpose the pipe cleaner as and then they did the genetic modifications on it to make it as a desiccant and a weed killer. It's just such a, that is a real satanic endeavor, the whole idea of Roundup and glyphosate and the way they've introduced it into the food supply is just insane. It's literally evil.
Soft kill. Soft kill.
Right. Yeah. They want you sick your entire life. And so then you're buying the prescriptions and using them. I mean, I'm proud to say I'm 61 in 2 months, and the only prescriptions I've ever had are if I had an infected tooth or something. Right. I've had a few antibiotics. I never will, especially with the training I have now. I would never go on a prescription. I mean, the lies that they tell, like about the whole idea of cholesterol and Lipitor and
that's bullshit.
Exactly.
Yeah, my doctor 20 years ago wanted me to put me on that. I took it for a week or two, and my legs hurt. I says, I'm not taking this shit. I took it for a week or two 20 years ago. And I don't need that stuff. Now,
good,
I have high blood pressure. I take high blood pressure medication. I need that. But other than that, I just take all supplements, you know.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, you could probably even argue that. How high was your blood pressure? Was it like really high, or was it just a little high?
Yeah. No, it's full. Was it 160 over? I don't know. It was high.
Oh, it's high. Did they determine a reason, or was it idiopathic, which means
it's just genetic. My runs in my family, heart disease, right? High blood pressure, diabetes. Yeah, but I don't have diabetes though. Thank God.
Good deal. Yeah.
That's horrible. Well, but
I know once you get on the C60, and especially both that and the CBD, I'd be curious. A lot of times they make drugs like high blood pressure work better, so you might even eventually notice that you won't need as much of a daily dose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's what
I think I'm going to try that stuff. So that's the guy that you're talking about. I'm looking at his website here. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think I want to try that. Yeah.
The other person, if you want to try it, is who's got a valid producer, is Sarah Westall. And if you want, I can I'll put the link in in the chat, Skype, and
right. But she does videos and all that too.
Yeah, she's great. She's feisty. I enjoy watching her stuff. She's been really, really wounded in her career and financially, mm-hmm. and everything. And I like people who don't take it, you know, get up and fight. I mean, one of my core beliefs is I'd rather die fighting on my feet than live on my knees. And so,
yeah,
that's for sure. So getting back to the whole, Tucker Carlson thing, that's pretty would be a, like they say, it's a cliche, but it's totally applicable here. That would be a game changer. So how real do you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, here, Pence, obviously, when Trump ran, he had to cut a deal with the Republican establishment. They had to put a real politician to babysit him, and that's what Pence was. But and Pence delivered the Christian vote, you know, the evangelical vote. Right, but I don't think Trump really needs him anymore. I don't like Pence. I borrow Michael Savage's phrase. He's like a dime store dummy. I don't see what Pence does to help Trump. I don't know. I'm not there. Obviously, I don't know what's going on behind closed doors. But Hijacker basically is saying that he needs to dump Pence or get Pence to be Secretary of State or whatever and put Tucker Carlson on there. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, of all the mainstream, what would you call it, the mainstream pundits, he's the only one who even remotely tells the truth. So
he's like William F. Buckley Jr. He's got the educational background in philosophy and history and Western civilization to be able to understand the concepts and quote philosophers and historians and historical events and this president and that senator and that movement and this piece of legislation and make arguments like that and make people understand it. Not too many people can do that, you know?
No, that's exactly right. He is a sharp, sharp guy. And he really knows how to kind of balance between coming too over the top that you irritate the elites, but he does, you know, I really enjoy listening to what he has to say. He's a sharp guy and he's matured. You know, 20 years ago, I found him annoying, and now he's got some wisdom and things. I put the link there. Do you see it?
I got it.
And I really enjoy him way more than when he used to be in the bow ties with CNN. I thought he was a little – he came off to me as a brat, and now he has gravitas, and I like him a lot now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Hijacker had quoted something Fox News. I don't know if Fox News was saying, acknowledging he may run for office. I have to look him back and see what he had put. He sent me something in Skype before the show. Let me look at this again. But no, that would be something. And I don't know that it's going to happen now before the election. Let's see. Tucker Carlson 2024. This is Politico.com. The GOP is buzzing. There's an article in Politico. So his audience is booming, blah, blah, blah. Republican strategists, conservative commentators, and former Trump campaign administration officials are buzzing about Carlson. So next generation leader of Donald Trump's movement. A front runner in a Republican primary. So, yeah. So that's an article in Politico. And we'll see what happens, you know?
Yeah, right.
In another twist, Carlson is a staff junior, according to a source familiar with the relationship. Trump Jr. has drawn his own share of presidential buzz. So I guess he's got some political aspirations, huh?
I think that if ever there was a time for a savvy commentator to move over into the political arena, it's now. I mean, the level of like just despicable politicians that are being propped up is such that someone who could really talk to people, could think for himself, maybe that would be great for us. I don't know how good it would be for the the political elites, though. So,
right.
Yeah, it sure would be good to get somebody in there who is really committed to the citizens of this country and the decency or welfare of this nation, not to the special interests, to the moneyed elites, to the lobbyists and all that. I mean, literally, you 11 miles away when I'm not going to the city these days because it's just, although it is walled off, the news makes it seem like it's everywhere. They really just maintain those protests to a certain area, and then they're not really allowed to stray too far. So it's really, the rest of the Washington D.C. goes about its business. So, but I'll tell you, it would be great for someone who could really think on their feet, like Tucker Carlson, or I can't really think of anybody on the Democratic side that impresses me who could do that. So he's kind of a rare bird these days. So it'd be interesting to see if he, you know, every election there's always, you know, they were saying, 2012, that Oprah Winfrey was going to be replaced Biden and be Obama's vice president. So people always run these things up. I don't know if it's a test flag or a test balloon, rather, or if it really, really is possible and all that. And like, what's her name when she was really Ashley Judd when she was huge? She was thinking about running for the Senate and Kentucky, and when she found out that really nobody'd vote for her, all of a sudden she wasn't going to do it. So, I mean,
right?
There's always, you know, celebrity, I think, only takes you so far. The cool thing about Tucker Carlson is he really is a bright, bright guy, and really, I'd be curious to see how much of his he writes himself, and or is he smart enough to have brought on some really great researcher writers and things? But I think he's smart enough. He probably writes his own stuff. So, So I guess time will tell. But what are your thoughts on this concept that the globalists really want Trump in there? So they've been pumping this money into Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and letting them run loose and just bending over backwards for this insanity because they know that will drive the real Americans in the so-called flyover states to the polls in record droves and absolutely guarantee Trump re-election. What do you think of that theory?
Yeah, that sounds like definitely a possibility.
Yeah, it seems like everything is so contrived these days that nothing just happens organically, especially when it comes to politics. So, I mean, it would be great. It would be really refreshing if Tucker Carlson were to jump in there, because I don't know about Pence, man. I really don't have a good feeling about him if Trump had a heart attack taking over as the president. Holy cow. I don't think that'd be very good.
Yeah, we'll see what happens here. So I guess apparently he's going over to the Mount Rushmore tomorrow, huh?
That's been planned for a long time. So that was really interesting. I don't know if it was Joe Tones or Hijacker or yourself was mentioning that, you know, he's going there for something else because he's there all day and the photo ops are only like 30 minutes or whatever. That's really interesting. Yeah. And so I don't know. I mean, what gets me, what are your thoughts on this? Insane. It's like 100 years jumped and all of a sudden these neo-Bolsheviks want to erase the history of American. As you mentioned last hour, the we went to school when they taught you real history, when they taught you civics, and that's how you learn. Everything in history isn't pleasant, but you really need to learn from history, or the classic quote is you're doomed to repeat it. And so why do you think all of a sudden anything that even remotely offends urban types has got to be erased from the zeitgeist? I mean, what do you think of that?
Oh, I just think it's purposeful they got to tear down the old order before they can. They think they're bringing in a new order. So that's one of the things, assaulting the culture, that type of thing, right?
Right, yeah. What do you think the odds are that they're going to force, using this crazy scamdemic, to force everybody to a digital currency and therefore...
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you think that's coming?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Or they withdraw... Now that's been... They've been talking about that, right?
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the... I don't know. It's just, it's so crazy how they're suddenly going all in on this. You know, it in a lot of ways, they could have their Marxist nation in like two generations. We'll be dead, and these young people just don't get it. And it doesn't seem like there's enough. But on the other hand, there's a lot of people who are raising their kids right in the States, out away from the giant cities. So maybe it wouldn't happen in two generations, I guess. Going back to that earlier idea of the 7,000 kingdoms, which is really interesting.
Right.
Yeah, do you think it seems like there's heightened awareness? Do you think there'll be anything really insane, like instead of fireworks, some type of real attack? Anywhere, you get any sense of that for the tomorrow, the 4th of July?
No, I think they're going to keep up the shit, the stuff they're doing, for sure. I think they'll keep ramping it up, but I don't think there'll be anything major. Maybe as we get closer to the election, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't think it makes sense because it seems like they're the new thing they're ramping up now is all of a sudden, I don't know if you caught in the news the last day or so that, China might have a swine flu that could be the next epidemic and all this. It's like, okay, sure. And that I don't know if you remember the initial swine flu where they were racing for a vaccine and it killed all the monkeys and then they still put it into a human test and it horribly injured the human test and they pulled the plug on the whole thing. And that's just it. None of these vaccines will ever work. The viruses, especially RNA viruses, they mutate too quickly and change. They're constantly changing because they're not even alive. You know, I mean, they're like what's called an obligate parasite. They need a cell, and then they use the cell as fuel to create more of themselves. A virus does not want to kill its host because it wants to continue to promulgate. So it's crazy. I mean, have you seen the quantity of vaccines that are currently under development? I mean, they want to add 120 vaccines to the children vaccine schedule in the next few years, which is absolutely criminal. And I believe there's like 200, nearly 300 COVID vaccines currently racing to be developed. I'm like, oh my God, what a nightmare, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. What's the situation with that? I mean, what's your research tell you as far as the availability of all that and the timetable on that?
They're already doing human trials. It's funny, they just had a little bit of a rebellion in Africa where the people who were taking a COVID-19 vaccine were starting at 6 and they protested, they burned their masks and said, we won't be Bill Gates lab rats. And it's interesting.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. I saw that. They kick him out. Right.
Basically. Right. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's what a scam that guy is. Well, that's a whole show in itself. So we'll wait, but he's been building this vaccine empire for 10 years. I mean, it's
with Fauci, right? Fauci's his business partner, isn't he?
One of them, absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yep. There's what's his name on YouTube? The Canadian journalist James Corbett did a 4-part documentary series about who is Bill Gates, what's he doing, what's his relationship with the World Health Organization and the CDC, and it is really well done. He's a really good journalist. He now lives in Japan, and anyone who wants to know what Bill Gates is really about, each one is only 20 minutes long, and the four of them together reveal a messianic complex, a psychopath.
Really?
Yeah. He really thinks he knows everything about viruses now, and he really thinks that it's up to him to fix the world and all this stuff. It's great.
He's the first science officer of the New World Order, right? He's Spock. That's what they gave him, right? At the table.
Right.
At their ten table of six or whatever it is, or ten or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well,
they're going to say, you Christians, you're crazy. The Christians are crazy. They won't take this vaccine, and they want the rest of us to get sick and die and arrest them. Put them in camps, right? Isn't that what they're going to say?
That's exactly right. And what's even worse is if it operates the same as a flu vaccine, anybody who gets a flu vaccine becomes Typhoid Mary, shedding and spreading the flu for 5 to 10 days. So, all those people who get that vaccine, it will occur the same way. So, then you really have to isolate yourself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's,
so how far back do you think that, the vaccines are bad news that you shouldn't be taking them? I mean, what year would you put that on?
Every vaccine, I mean, the first polio vaccine, which was run through a simian organ. I don't know if it's the brain or it's kidney, monkey kidney. And it's a known cancer causer. So everyone who got the Jonas Salk vaccine back in the 50s and 60s, it's one of the primary reasons of the cancer explosion is that vaccine. So, I mean, have you ever run into any of the studies that show how polio really has never even been an issue, that it was the massive DDT spraying and wherever there was a polio outbreak that like a few weeks or months earlier,
really?
They had sprayed DDT for mosquitoes and things like that. Yeah. It's amazing correlation. Amazing.
No kidding.
Correlation. Yeah. And are you aware that Bill Gates went to India and was going to help prevent polio, which they really didn't have much polio. And so he vaccinated, the hero that Bill Gates is, vaccinated 500,000 young Indian children and gave them all polio. But actually, according to Bill Gates and the World Health Organization, they eradicated polio. And you know how they eradicated it? They renamed it to flaccid leg syndrome. So there's now, they essentially gave a 500,000 toddlers in India polio and ruined their ability to walk. And with that vaccine, and he got kicked out of India too.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know they kicked him out and they were going to arrest him or whatever, but,
And another thing that, by the way, everyone, thank you for listening. And we're completely listener supported. There's no commercials, no corporate sponsorship. If you could donate to Revolution Radio, you really help and make a difference and keep this free speech platform alive and thriving. And myself and Chicago Brew and Mike Gaddy are taking over new shows. And we're always, Joe Tone's an amazing guy, helping to improve with the Leadership Council. And there's more new shows coming and the archives are coming back, and, support Revolution Radio on Patreon, for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to the archives, which are coming back, and they're going to be amazing. Literally tens of thousands of hours of great radio, great interviews, great discussions. So for as little as $5 a month, you can have access to all that. So please, please support Revolution Radio. And, the more you look into, the whole vaccine. Oh, I know where I was going. Are you aware of if the powers that be achieve worldwide mandatory vaccinations, the level of profit that delivers? So right now, Big Pharma vaccines are considered biologics. It's the biologics division of Big Pharma. There's prescription drugs and there's biologics, and biologics is huge and growing because there's no liability. You can kill people, and you the worst you can do is go to the kangaroo vaccine court, and you can you might have to pay someone a paltry amount of money for destroying life or killing a person. So right now, the biologics division worldwide is profitable in the billions of dollars annually. That's profit. And so if they are able to pull this scam and create a worldwide mandatory vaccination schedule, the annual profitability will jump to the trillions. And that will be the biggest industry in the world by a factor of 100. It will make Amazon and Bezos look like a corner grocery store. That's how much money is at play here, and that's how much, and the reason why Gates is trying to build this empire. He's such a megalomaniac that he thinks that he can be the king of that new industry and that new corporate global power that will dwarf everything else.
I see. Well,
that's pretty messed up.
I guess we'll see what happens. So,
I guess we will. I mean, polls currently state that. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, polls currently show that 50% of the people will not take that vaccine. And Gates himself, this week or late last week, came out and said that the biggest problem right now is going to be compliance. People are not going to take the vaccine, which is good. Some people are smart. Hopefully a lot of people get smart. So you were going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, what do you got planned for your first show?
Oh, you know, to follow a legend, I'm going to bring in a legend, and Judy Mikovits is going to be my guest. And she's writing, releasing a third book. And I want to get her to talk a little bit more about the many uses of the medical marijuana and the like you said, the paste and going under the tongue. And she's had some amazing stories of helping people who are near death come back and have a decent quality of life, and just an amazing woman. And I know I read just a couple days ago that she is suing in California Gavin Newsom. Mm-hmm. For this whole mask thing. What's your take on having everybody wear masks when the CDC, the World Health Organization,
mind control device. There master you go. Mind control.
There they're you
not,
go.
They're not anything else, but
yeah.
You know.
So yeah, slave training, right? Really? Isn't it slave training?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Just wow, despicable. It's how else do you describe it but that? So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I mean, usually, historically, in Washington, D.C., things die down in the summer because it's, you know, built on a swamp. It's so hot and humid, and the politicians leave, and nothing really gets done. And then all of a sudden, it gets crazy because the spending year end is September 30th. So then all of a sudden, everybody's scrambling to use up their money.
Right.
And so, but it seems like with this whole Fauci BS, and it doesn't seem like it's going to die down this year. So it'll be very interesting to see, because half of the country is currently unemployed. So that's, you know, that's a problem.
Fauci. Well, I call him Dr. Falsey.
There you go. That's a good one.
Yeah, he's talks out both sides of his mouth. I think Trump's just playing games with him. I don't know. Keeps him around so he could spy on him, but
I hope so. Yeah.
What's up with Gates, Soros, and Kissinger? Their leather looking skin. They've been jacked up with some kind of something or what?
Like adrenochrome or some designer human growth hormone thing. I absolutely believe that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever heard the theory going on that for people like that. They're already creating these human animal, like half pig, half human clones from the cells of like a Soros. So and or a David Rockefeller, and that's how they live so long, even though they live bad. Really? They have these organ transplants that keep them going in their original bodies because they don't trust the whole consciousness transfer stuff yet that they're working on, the so-called singularity and all that. So, really? Yeah, wow. There's some people who claim to a really interesting one of Chicago Brew's favorites, Tori says on the Red States Radio Network, she swears that that's what's going on, and she has a fascinating tale to tell with her own former spook work and all that, and she absolutely says that that is currently going on, and that's how people like Rockefeller and the old Rothschild get to live so long, even though they look like hell, is because they're popping in new organs like the liver and the heart and things. And
really,
yeah,
that's sick.
Yeah. It is. It's absolutely satanic, sick endeavors. You know what I mean? You know, I believe the Bible and some of those other great books are historical recounting. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, history always repeats. I think that the whole Sodom and Gomorrah tale was something to that effect where it was getting so out of control. And the Noah flood, I think it gets to the point where the creators or God, whomever, you know, whatever your belief system is or to what level that goes, somebody says, hey, we want to see what you can do with knowledge. And you get to a certain point where you're so satanic, they wipe the slate and let it start over. I tend to think that's
it. Huh? Yeah. That's how they do it.
I think so. I don't have any direct knowledge. I hope I never do.
No, I don't doubt it. I mean, I think that, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way I would think it works, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
So what do we got going on the rest of the night here? We got regular shows, or do we have another round table, or do you know?
The great Dr. Kevin Barrett, who is, has definitely paid the price for exposing the truths of 9/11 in the Wisconsin academic system. He's coming on with his 2-hour show, Truth Jihad. And then after that is Wendy Granada and the Granada Forum. And then I believe then we go to the whole agenda with Gordon James Giannito. And then Jimmy Jean runs a round table. And then over in Studio B, we've got, sounds like the music's coming on. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Take care.
Revolution.